Quantum Foam.
Episode 43. Moore's Law No More.
Quantum Foam.
Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
Forces which govern the universe. Physics.
All right. Here we go. We are recording another episode here. This is episode 43, Moore's Law No More of Quantum Foam. I'm trying to get more episodes done on the plate here. This topic is one that we've been needing to go over for quite some time. We do a lot of things here relevant to computers. This is relevant to that discussion. So we want to know what Moore's Law is. We're going to do a history of the law going all the way back many years, and we're going to see if it's still relevant or if Moore's Law will be no more in the coming years. There were some videos and shows done discussing Moore's Law 10 to 15 years ago, and they were saying that in 10 years, the law may no longer be relevant. What is the law? Well, it essentially says the number of transistors on a microchip in a computer approximately doubles every 2 years. It's been proposed every year, every 18 months, and every 2 years, and has even been thought of possibly being every 3 years. Basically, every couple of years, the transistors on a microchip doubles. On one side, there's 100 billion transistors in maybe a netbook or something, and then the next following year, there will be 200 billion transistors on that microchip. I've seen a few other videos. There was one that was from Think Big involving Dr. Michio Kaku. He's a nice fellow, by the way, too. I've spoke with him before. I asked him about left-handed neutrinos. For some reason, I thought due to new microwave technology and neural communication and other sophisticated phenomena involving high-level science that I've been involved with in the past few years, I thought for some reason the best question to ask him was, are neutrinos still left-handed in their chirality? And he said as far as he knew, but he was put on the spot. That's the thing. We're getting put on the spot here on the microphone, but I'm ready to speak. Right now, we are interested in Moore's Law and how that says that transistors double in their amount every year or two or three. I think I remember it being 18 months. The transistors double every 18 months when I first heard about it, possibly in high school or sometime a while ago. Most people have been saying every 2 years. So we want to look into this Moore's Law and a little history about it. So Moore's Law is the observation that the number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. Moore's Law is an observation mainly, and it's a projection of a historical happenstance. Rather than a pure law of physics, it technically is an empirical relationship. That basically is a correlation that is supported by experiment or observation, but not necessarily by theory. So it's something that we find that transistors double every 2 years, but it isn't necessarily a fundamental theory of physics. Moore's Law is not a law of science. There is no law of Moore's Law. It is a misnomer called Moore's Law because this law is one of the few laws where we make it a law instead of the law dictates what happens. It is not an axiom. We make this law the law. So you can plot this with a semi-log plot of transistor counts for microprocessors against the dates of the introduction of the technology. Nearly doubling every 2 years is what we observe. A semi-log graph has one axis on a logarithm scale and the other on a linear scale. It's used for certain types of data with exponential relationships. Moore's Law is an exponential curve. Technically, in the industry, this is a model of experience curve effects. and it deals with the express relationship between experience, and it deals with producing a good, and it deals with the efficiency of that production, specifically efficiency gains that follow an investment and an effort. That would be an example. So we're mainly dealing with computers here. Computers are built from microprocessors. Microprocessors are mainly etched out of silicone, which is an ingredient in sand. We are interested in how this Moore's Law dictates the experience we see with the electronics as they come out from year to year. It used to be the phones were updated every year. Then it was they were updated every 6 months. You got an S7, an S8, an S9, an S10. You have a Note 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 20, 1, S20, 1, 2, 3. What year is it? We are taking an evaluation of Moore's Law. We want to know some background information about this phenomena. The observation is named after Gordon Moore. He is the co-founder of Fairchild Semiconductor and Intel. He is the former CEO of Intel. He was an American businessman and an engineer. We all have heard of Intel. I love Intel. They are so powerful. Those chips are the most powerful computers in the world. The mainframes and the desktop workstation computers that we all love to enjoy are based on Intel. We're interested in this Gordon Earl Moore guy, Moore's Law, which is named after him. It makes the observation that the number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. I keep repeating that because that's mainly the thing I want you guys to get out of this. You just need to know that industry is following a rubric that has been written and goes all the way back to 1965. He happened to note that the number of components double. I'm wondering who made the law. He brought forth the academics. He was obviously somebody you wanted to listen to because back then there weren't that many semiconductor companies. Now we have so many semiconductor companies all over the world. This one is the main one, Intel. And of course there was Fairchild Semiconductor. It was an American semiconductor company based in San Jose, California. It was founded in 1957 as a division of Fairchild Camera and Instrument by the Traitorous Eight, who defected from Shockley Semiconductor Laboratory. I believe I remember reading something about this in the Innovators book, describing how these guys left to make a new company. These guys are probably all millionaires and billionaires by now. They founded the semiconductor industry back when it first began. This was a projected rate of growth, and it would continue for at least another decade. They were looking at 10 years out. In 1975, looking forward to the next decade, Gordon revised the forecast to doubling every 2 years. That's probably where that came from. 10 years out, it's doubling every 2 years. Moore's empirical evidence did not directly imply that the historical trend would continue. Nevertheless, his prediction has held since 1975 and since 1965 and has since become known as a law. This prediction has been used in the entire semiconductor industry to guide long-term planning to set targets for research and development. Board meetings need to know this information. This is relevant information that eventually comes to every board meeting with a semiconductor company every year. Probably they are discussing, is Moore's Law still holding? Are we still predicting our research and development based on this information? I'm just saying the semiconductor industry, it's an aggregate of companies that's engaged in design and fabrication of semiconductors and semiconductor devices. This is transistors and integrated circuits all the way. These integrated circuits have so many billion chips on them. I can't believe how many billions. I think the netbooks might have been 400 billion in actuality, the ones from 2009 or 10, and they only have more now. The number of transistors in these devices is absolutely astounding. We have 100 billion neurons in our brain. By comparison, they already have computers that have more than 100 billion transistors, which for all intents and purposes can be described as the neurons of semiconductor computers. So the invention of the transistor was done by Shockley, Brattain, and Bardeen at Bell Labs in 1948. Maybe I can mention mention a few levels of semiconductors that have been stated throughout the ages. We had MOSFET scaling set at 20 micrometers. These are called process nodes. An FET is a field effect transistor. A MOSFET is a metal oxide semiconductor field effect transistor. It is a type of field effect transistor most commonly fabricated by the controlled oxidation of silicone. They use photolithography to etch the silicone using oxidation methods. It is an insulated gate, the voltage of which determines the conductivity of the device. So 20 micrometers in 1968. Then we go on down the line, 1 micrometer in 1984, 65 nanometer in 2005, 14 nanometer in 2014, 10 nanometer in 2016, and we are down to 3 nanometers as of 2022. The predicted future is 1 nanometer in 2027. We are wondering if this Moore's Law will still be relevant. That is the list of process nodes describing the transistors that are in these devices. We don't know if it will be relevant or not. Industry experts have not reached a consensus on exactly when Moore's Law will cease to be. Microprocessor architects report that semiconductor advancements has slowed industry-wide since around 2010, slightly below the pace of Moore's Law that was predicted all those years ago. In September 2022, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang considered Moore's Law as dead, while Intel's CEO back then was Pat Gelsinger. He had the opposite view. Essentially, the big magnificent seven, all of these companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, Apple, Alphabet, NVIDIA, Tesla, Intel is still leading the way, so I would be willing to listen to Pat Gelsinger more than Jensen Huang on this one. We will get into whether or not Moore's Law is relevant in the next half. I just wanted to go over some of the stuff about Intel and about the history of Moore's Law. We want to know if Moore's Law will still be relevant. First, let's go over the specific history. In 1959, Douglas Engelbart studied the projected downscaling of integrated circuit size, publishing his results in the article Microelectronics and the Art of Similitude. Engelbart presented his findings at the 1960 International Solid State Circuits Conference, where Gordon Moore was present in the audience. In 1965, Gordon Moore, who at the time was working as the Director of Research and Development at Fairchild Semiconductor, was asked to contribute to the 35th anniversary issue of Electronics Magazine with a prediction on the future of the semiconductor components industry over the next 10 years. This is the origin of where the prediction was. He was invited by Electronics Magazine. Within his editorial, he speculated that by 1975, 10 years later, it would be possible to contain as many as 65,000 components on a single quarter-inch size of semiconductor. This is approximately 1.6 square centimeters. The complexity for minimum component cost has increased at a rate of roughly a factor of 2 per year. Certainly over the short term, this rate can be expected to continue. Over the longer term, the rate of increase is a bit more uncertain, although there is no reason to believe it will not remain nearly constant for at least 10 years. In the computer industry, 10 years is a long time. They are making predictions over the next 10 years. If I were to make a prediction over the 10 years, it would be as follows. I believe, personally, that Moore's Law will not break down, and that we will use all other types of of intuition and ingenuity to create fabrications of microcomputers that will continue to increase in speed. At some point, they're just so fast that do they need to even be any faster? We are scientists here, so we need server farm after server farm after server after rack after server of computers to compute the types of computations we are attempting to publish. Most people need supercomputing time when they are doing their mathematics involved with various projects in the field of physics. I am a computational physicist, so I honestly could never have fast enough computers. We will get to that when we get to the next half. But for now, let's take a quick breather and fucking get the midpoint out of the way.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Hawking.
And I am Sir Isaac Newton.
I am Albert Einstein.
And last but not least, I am Dr. Hezekiah Paul Smith. This is the midpoint of episode 43, Moore's Law No More, of Quantum Foam. Let's get back to the show. Let's get back into it. Okay, so for this half, my computers now seem pretty damn fast. I'm still waiting on the bar for rendering and other things like that that take a lot of time to render. MP3s from WAV files takes a while to render, no matter how lame you are or not. There's a encoder called LAME, L-A-M-E. It takes a long time for the computer to compute one format to another. If I need to do millions or billions of conversions, we need large server farms to handle this throughput. Moore posited a log-linear relationship between device complexity, higher circuit density at a reduced cost, and time. In a 2015 interview, Moore noted that of the 1965 article, "I just did a wild extrapolation saying it's going to continue to double every year for the next 10 years. That is the origin of the law right there. One historian of the law cites Stigler's law to introduce the fact that the regular doubling of components was known to many working in the field. They created the name Moore's Law from the person who had lived, Gordon Moore, who has passed away in 2023. So as of the time of this recording, he has passed away. But his law lives on, and that is my personal opinion. More on the MOSFET scaling technology. In 1974, Robert H. Dennard at IBM recognized the rapid MOSFET scaling technology and formulated what is known as Dennard scaling, which describes that as MOS transistors get smaller, their power density stays constant, such that the power use remains in proportion with area. That is why they are talking about square centimeters here and square inches of a silicon wafer. Evidence from the semiconductor industry shows that this inverse relationship between power density and areal density broke down in the mid-2000s. I think it's possibly because of the fact that there is three-dimensional configurations of microchips now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, VNAND is three-dimensional. VNAND is a type of 3D NAND technology that stacks memory cells vertically to increase capacity and performance. This definitely allows for more efficient use of space compared to 2D NAND memory technology. This is our flash memory at the moment. As it's written in VME, is the storage technology, and VNAND is the type of memory. So the type of flash that we're on is VNAND, and it's 3D. What do you guys think of this?
We don't really have an opinion on this one. We will just listen.
I was wondering if you had any predictions.
Not right now.
Is that so?
Yes.
In electronics, the metal oxide semiconductor field effect transistor is a type of field effect transistor that's fabricated with the process of oxidation on silicon. Metal oxide semiconductors. Continuing along with the history, shortly after 1975, Caltech professor Carver Mead popularized the terms Moore's Law. Moore's Law eventually came to be widely accepted as a goal for the semiconductor industry, and it was cited to be competitive within semiconductor manufacturers as they strove to increase power. Moore viewed his law as surprising and optimistic. Moore's law is a violation of Murphy's law. Everything gets better and better. Eventually, Murphy's law sets in. The observation was even seen as a self-fulfilling prophecy. People actually think that Moore's law is self-fulfilling and that we created it and are following it. We don't know if that's true or not. That's the funny thing. I think the law is just right because we're following it still, and we're still finding ways to build computer architectures that are going to be increasing in speed. According to Michio Kaku, there's molecular computing, optical computing, quantum computing, and all kinds of other possible options that we can be striving for when Moore's law begins to become difficult later on in the century. We have another 20 years of it. When I was involved in very important discussions in 2022, when wars were starting around the world, we needed to know what we were to do with computers and how phones keep coming out with these temporary devices every year or even more. I believe what we discussed was the fact that I think we didn't know if Moore's law was going to be continuing on for the 2020s. We were taking census based on the pandemic and everything else that happened. We didn't know if these devices were still going to be sold every year and then discarded and then you upgrade. The idea that you buy a phone every 6 months to 2 years and then throw your old one out and get a new one. And each time you get the new phone, it just becomes a little bit better and a tiny bit faster and fitting a little bit more transistors on the silicone wafer system on a chip, and skip it, get a new computer, got a Core i7, skip it, get a new one, build one, Core i9, skip it, 2-channel, 3-channel, nope, go up to 4-channel, skip it. Now we got enthusiast grade workstation computers for gaming that are 4-channel, just like back in the Broadwell E days when we first had 14 nanometer technology. And I think they've just been mainly making a lot of things between 7 and 10 nanometer technology. It basically comes down to fitting more transistors on the chip. Eventually, there's too much. So enough about the history and other complicated information. We are interested in whether or not Moore's law will be relevant for longer. And I think I decided that at least for 20 years, it's going to be relevant and we can still follow the law. Moore's law, originally observed by Gordon E. Moore in 1965, asserts that the number of transistors on a microchip
doubles
approximately every 2 years. This was more than a couple years ago. I could check to see if the size of transistors between two specific pieces of hardware actually did double or not. Let me do that. You guys take over for a minute.
I think we are taking a break.
Okay. Well, as nearly as I can tell, this laptop has 480 billion transistors on it, and I have found a laptop that has 1.1 trillion transistors on it. I think they were about 3 years apart. One was from 2021, and one was from 2018, I think. Those devices actually do prove that more or less Moore's law is still a thing. We want to understand this, though. Moore did not call his observation Moore's law, and he did not set out to create this law. He made that statement based on noticing emerging trends in chip manufacturing while he was at his Fairchild Semiconductor. But as transistors shrink, computers become faster and smaller. These tiny structures are printed on sheets of carbon and silicone, and it allows more transistors in a space. This boosts computer efficiency. Over time, the cost of powerful computers has dropped annually due to lower labor and semiconductor costs. I can't believe how cheap stuff is online. Money is not really worth that much. Right now, food and rent is really high. It's an after effect from the floods and then the pandemic and rising interest rates and other things and the lowering of the worth of the dollar. But this microphone I'm using right now, which is a white blue Yeti microphone, a little bit older microphone, they go for like $33 on eBay. You can just sit there and buy used electronic piece after used electronic piece from eBay, and they are flooded with laptops, they're flooded with microphones, they're flooded with every type of electronic media that you can come up with. That's with the dollar not really being worth crap a pop is $3 out of a pop machine. I don't know if that was tourist prices or what, but it was the same price in Los Angeles, too, at the La Brea Tar Pits. $3 for a bottle of pop. Whatever happened to $1, one pop? I wonder if Moore's Law holds for sodas and other industries as well. Practically every facet of high-tech society benefits from Moore's Law in action. These mobile devices, like smartphones and computer tablets, would not work without tiny processors. We couldn't fit the processors on the motherboards, the system on a chip. Back in the day, that's why computers were as big as they are. Now, we can make computers that fit on your watch, or even smaller, and they probably have billions of transistors on them. This involves video games, spreadsheets that we do on the computer, accurate weather forecasts, and also global positioning systems. Moreover, smaller and faster computers improve transportation, healthcare, education, and energy production, to name a few of the industries that have progressed because of the increase of power in these computer chips. We want to know what is the future of Moore's Law. What are the challenges and predictions? Some experts predict Moore's Law will hit physical limits in the 2020s, but I'm not seeing it. This information I'm reading here is probably a little old. I watched a video from 10 years ago, from 13 years ago, and from 5 years ago, and I'm looking at stuff that's within the last 5 years, and here we are halfway through the roaring 2020s. And we are still experiencing an increase in speed every year or two, so Moore's Law still is holding strong. But for instance, if you keep shrinking components, you can put more in a 1-inch square chip. That is the analogy. The more you put in that square inch, the hotter it gets and the harder it is to cool. That is definitely a problem with our current computers. You got 50 million windows open? That's why we need Moore's Law to continue on, because we all love to have 50 million tabs open so we can remember the website we were fucking loading before. We need to overcome the challenges of Moore's Law. We are running out of time here. I just wanted to go a little bit more into something dealing with how we can overcome the challenges that Moore's Law presents. The fact that Moore's Law may be approaching its natural end is perhaps most painfully present at the chip manufacturers themselves. As these computers are saddled with the task of building ever more powerful chips against the reality of physical limitations, even Intel is competing with itself and its industry to create what ultimately may not be possible. But I'm telling you, we are staying for at least 20 years. In 2012, Intel introduced a 22-nanometer process featuring the world's smallest and most advanced mass-produced transistors. By 2014, they had a 14-nanometer chip, and after delays in 2024, they started using a large machine to develop technology advancing Moore's Law. This machine was designed by ASML. It's a high-NA extreme ultraviolet lithography system that can print transistors as small as 2 nanometers. This process is how we are able to create these transistors, system on a chips, and these computers. It uses extreme ultraviolet lithography. It is a key driver of change in the semiconductor industry. Extreme ultraviolet lithography. So if we can print these down to 2 nanometers, we can be messing around with silicone for the next 80 years. Moore's Law for another 10 years, for another 20 years. They're giving predictions of 10 years. I'm giving you a prediction of 20 years. And we're already 5 years in. So 15 years out, I don't know what will happen in 2045, but I think I know what's happening probably in 2035. But here it is, 2025, and we are moving right along in the roaring 2020s. Extreme ultraviolet light. It has a short wavelength. Using this short wavelength and this type of system, they are able to print these chips. We just want to know, is Moore's Law coming to an end or not? I vow that it isn't. But according to some, Moore's Law will end sometime maybe this decade. If components continue to shrink, physical limits will be reached during this decade because it's unlikely that transistors smaller than atoms can be printed. Like a wire smaller than an atom is going to hold an electron. Electrons are smaller than atoms. They create an electron cloud outside of the atom. There would only be 1.5 nanometer of space left to print on, depending on the element. So this new system of lithography is able to print down to 2 nanometers, that is where we are. It's the bottom line. Moore's law no more? I think not. I think we are good to go.
True story, brother.
Yep, that's true. Very, very true. But for now, that is about it. This was episode 43, Moore's Law No More, of Quantum Foam.
We plan on being more interactive in the next episode.
As you both stated, very true.
See you guys later.
I will participate more next episode as well.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.